Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. We hope you enjoy this week's message from our guest speaker.
Pastor Gary and Sheila are in the house. Woo! Yes. Great to have both of you. The first time, I remember when we used to have a church camp. I don't know if you remember that. I remember you coming to that maybe 12 years ago-ish. And we had a great week with them. How many of you were here at the Alive on Wednesday? We had a great time, right? And what about the prophetic seminar, how to hear God's voice and how to share God's message to others? How many of you were here? Yeah. Hey, it's an honor to have both of you. I know that you travel the globe. And taking the time to come here, it's an honor. And thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your heart and your ministry. So I invite you to come forward. Can we welcome him? Can we do that?
Amen. Good morning. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about God's perspective. We need God's perspective in everything that we do. And I travel so much, towards the end of December, nobody wants me because it's Christmas, Christmas choirs, Christmas programs. And so I have a few weeks off. And then we always take the first 2 or 3 weeks as a family and we go to Florida. It's a little warmer than where I am. I like the warm weather. And so it's my time to just kind of renew, and I pause and I ask myself a number of questions. Every year I do this, and so it's kind of been a rhythm in my life, and these are some of the questions I ask. How do I close the gap between where I currently am and where God wants me to be? So at the end of the year, I kind of evaluate, God, what did I do this year? You told me some things. Did I accomplish it? And Lord, where I am right now, what do I need to do for next year? Where do I need to go? It's not a striving thing. I just want to be in the will of God. I want God's perspective in my life. How many here would want God's perspective and want God's will, right? Here's another couple of questions. Is, Lord, would you help me understand what I need to adjust in my own ability to have your perspective in all things? I don't want my opinion. I don't want my perspective, because sometimes my perspective can be warped. It can be selfish. It can be self-seeking. And so I'm always saying, God, help me increase my ability to understand what you think. Here's another question. How does God think about my marriage? How does he think about my finances? How does he think about my giving? Am I a generous giver? One of our values at our church is generosity is our joy. And so I'm asking the Lord all the time, Lord, is generosity my joy? Do I love to give and do I love to serve? How's my relationship to my church? Sometimes I travel so much, I'm not at my church. And so, Lord, what is my relationship? Am I allowing myself to be disconnected? Or, Lord, do I want to keep building the relationships that I have? And are they important to me? How about, Lord, what is your perspective on my calling and my purpose? I'm 62. I know I don't look that old. But, I'm saying, God, the next 5, 10 years, Lord, what's your purpose for me? I don't want to just kind of go through the motions and kind of just live my life. I want your perspective. I want what you want for me. And church, that's the heart of God for all of us. He wants to give us his perspective. Come on, turn to someone and say, God wants to give you his perspective. Here's another one. How do I position my heart to receive what has already been provided for me? There's an inheritance that God has stored up. There's a provision that God has provided for me. So how do I position my heart to get that and to receive that? I don't want to miss what God has for me. One last question I do is, how do I regularly increase my capacity for more of Jesus and break off the limitations in my own mind and heart? Now, maybe not in Winkley you have limitations, but I have limitations in Ontario. And there's things that the enemy would try to limit me. You know, the enemy is always trying to hinder us and steal our faith and ruin what God wants to do in our lives. So, Lord, I want to have your perspective. Last week was Vision Sunday for you. And Pastor was sharing his vision of what God wants for your church. Amen. You can say amen. Right? And so here's the question, like, God, how do you want me to participate in vision and building the church? Lord, if I'm not serving, maybe you want to get me involved in a serving area because that's helping build a church. You know, Jesus is building one thing. He's building the church, right? He's not building our own opinions and our own, you know, he's building his church. And so the enemy wants to put limitations. He wants to put hindrances in our path so our hearts grow cold or they grow weary or he wants to create fear. He wants to create hesitation or unbelief and procrastination, which causes us to lose heart. Not procrastination here, but in Ontario, okay? Like, you guys don't procrastinate, right? But you weren't at the 8:30 service. I know that, okay? You slept in this morning. Okay. A limitation is a restrictive weakness. I can say that because my wife slept in. She's at this service, okay? So listen, a limitation is a restrictive weakness. It's a lack of capacity. It's an inability or a restriction, something that limits and holds us back. Listen, God wants to give us his perspective so that we're not held back. When you get God's perspective, all of a sudden there's a release that can come in your spirit. When you get God's perspective, there's faith that can grow in your heart. Listen, faith comes by and hearing by, not your opinions, not my opinions, not my thoughts. But when I get God's thought, he puts faith in my spirit. He puts increase in my soul. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But God has come that you may have, come on, life and life. So ask yourself this, am I living an abundant life? Or am I just living life? I think God wants us to give us abundant life. Come on, say abundant life. Amen. In our church, our theme this year was contending. And so, you know, obviously our pastors are preaching on contending for faith, contending for joy, all these things. And I'm believing that I'm contending for more. I want more. I want more of God's perspective. I want more of God's heart. God wants to shift your perspectives. Now, let's define perspective. Perspective is a way of thinking about and understanding something. Perspective is the way individuals, you and I, would see the world. It's shaped by the assumptions you bring into a situation and a whole lot of other things. Perspective is shaped by my experiences, my belief, and my knowledge. It comes from a personal point of view and is shaped by life. I want you to know something. God wants to shift your perspective. The world and society wants us to think and value and process and believe a certain thing. But God wants to give us his perspective. Would you turn to someone, look them straight in the blues or the browns eyes, and say, God wants to change your perspective. You looked in their eyes and said, your eyes are not blue and they're not brown, they're kind of a muddy green, right? I saw a couple of guys looking at some girls and looking into their eyes. This is my chance! See, God always sees the whole picture. From the beginning to the end, God is not limited by time. Church, God sees into your future. He knows what your future is, and he wants to give you insight into your future. God's thoughts are way and far above. We learned this in our seminar this weekend. The Bible says that God's thoughts are higher, his ways are higher, but it doesn't mean that they're inaccessible. It just means you and I have to let him renew our mind, renew our thinking. God is not a God who's up there saying, I'm not telling you anything. Figure it out yourself. He doesn't do that. He says, I want you to know my thoughts. They're just higher. So don't think on a natural plane, but think on a higher plane. God, he views us with a deep, unconditional love and compassion, even when we fail. He's always speaking mercy and love and grace. Aren't you glad for that? Like, even when we make mistakes and we fail, hey, God is still loving. He's still compassionate. We got to get his perspective. He's never surprised. Like, whoo, Donald Trump is there. I'm surprised. He's never surprised. Listen, he's never caught off guard. He's never moody. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God doesn't just wake up in a day and go, Jesus, I'm tired of dealing with these people. Let's just strike them out right now. He doesn't do that. He's not moody, right? He's the same yesterday, come on, today and forever. He never changes. Hey, and God doesn't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Hey, we do, but he never leaves us. And I remember telling the young people, I remember as a teenager, man, I was stoned out of my mind. And I was telling Pastor Cole this morning, you know, I did a lot of drugs one weekend, and I was just walking just to try to stay alive. I was like, before the show, The Walking Dead, I was The Walking Dead. You know, I was just kind of a zombie. And I was just trying to stay awake because if I fell asleep, I didn't think I was going to make it. And in that moment, God Almighty spoke to me. He gave me his perspective of what I was doing. And he said, Gary, if you'll turn, if you'll come to the light, I will change your life. And I went back to my car, sat in the car, turned to my best friend who was a backslidden Pentecostal kid, and I said, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. Now, he didn't like that. He swore at me, told me to smoke another joint, and let's go, keep going. But it wasn't long after, a month later, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I've never looked back. I want God's perspective. Listen, God wants to give you his perspective. Everything God does is to fulfill his purpose. He doesn't randomly do things. He doesn't randomly allow things to happen. He has a purpose. He has a perspective. And he wants to give you and I the perspective. The Bible says that you and I have received the Spirit of God. When you invite Jesus into your heart, you receive the Spirit of God. And 1 Corinthians says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. The Spirit in your heart, when you receive Jesus, he wants you to know freely the things that God has given you. God doesn't want to hide his perspective. So here's a few things. Number one, God has made the seeing eye and the hearing ear. Today, you're either looking at the screen or looking at this beautiful piece right here. You know, you're looking at me and you're listening, right? Naturally, you have eyes. Naturally, you have ears. But God has given you spiritual eyes. He's given you spiritual ears. And we must choose to open our eyes and we will be satisfied with bread and nourishment in the natural. So I always tell young people, that's why you need to get up before noon on a Saturday. Because fresh bread is in the morning. Stale bread is in the afternoon. If you want to eat well, right? See, God has always given us all the ability to see. And he's given us the ability to hear. He's given us the ability to create pictures in our mind and about the possibilities of our future. God wants to open your eyes. Turn to someone and say, God wants to open your eyes. And he wants to open your ears. Number two is we need our eyes to be opened so we can see what is going on in the supernatural. In 2 Kings, it says this, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army. This is the king of Syria. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And so he answered, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, let's stop here before we go any further. If I'm the servant, okay, we're in a city, it's just me and Elisha. We're hanging out, okay? So I think he gets up in the morning. The servant gets up because he's getting up earlier than the prophet. And so he's getting ready the day, and he looks out, and he's freaking out. There's a whole army surrounding him. And Elijah, I can just picture it in the morning, Elijah gets up and he's like, oh, Gehazi, where's my coffee? I need my coffee. And Gehazi's like, look. And he goes, do not fear. There's more for us than against us. Now, if I'm the servant, I'm like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? And watch the verse, next verse. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Listen, there's a battle going on, and we need to be able to see who is on our side and what our position needs to be. Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Right now, you might be going through a difficult situation. You might be going through a battle. You might be in the midst of chaos. And if you're only looking at what you see, if you're only looking at what you're able to see, you're going to miss that there's an army surrounding you that's coming to your defense. You are not alone. God is with you. Come on, say, God is with me. But the prophet needed to pray, God, open his eyes. The army was always there. He just couldn't see. The solution was always there, but he just couldn't see. I love this scripture in Acts, I think it's 16:9, where Paul says this. He makes this comment. He says, I'm going to stay here until Pentecost, for there is a great and effective door open to me. But there are many adversaries. Now, you have two options. You can look at the many adversaries, or you can look at the great and effective door. In fact, I always like to say this. The adversaries are actually an indication that you're about to experience a massive breakthrough. But if you only look at one thing, you'll get freaked out. That's why you can't fear. Turn to someone and say, don't fear. Don't look at the natural. Listen, I was looking the scripture up. I was trying to put it in my notes, but I didn't have time to. Let me read it to you. It's in Ecclesiastes. Watch this, just so we have it in context. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. What's he saying there? If you look at the natural, you will stop doing something and it will produce nothing. You cannot look at the natural. You have to look at the supernatural. Church, God wants to open your eyes. He wants to give you his perspective. Number three, God asked the prophet, what do you see? Jeremiah 1 verse 11, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready, watching to perform my word. Church, what do you see? What do you see for your life? What do you see for your church? What do you see for your family? What do you see for your business? What do you see for your life, for your purpose, for what God wants? God wants to give you his vision. The Holy Spirit wants to challenge us to dream and to see things that are not as though they were. My brother, we're twins. I'm the better looking one. He's taller, he got the height, I got the looks. But my brother's had a rough life. He's been in jail, he's done a lot of drugs, he's disassociated himself from our family. But there was a time where for about 2 years, he would bring me his tithes. And he wasn't going to church, wasn't a Christian, but he understood the principle of tithing. And so he would give me his tithes and say, hey bro, make sure it goes in the church, not in your pocket. I said, okay, Mike, no problem. So I would take it, you know, and I was frustrated one day. I said, like, God, why is he bringing his tithes? He's not even serving you. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, where his treasure is, there will he be also. It was a perspective. And I began to pray. Every time he gave me his tithes, I would take it and I would put it in the basket. And I would say, God, where his treasure is, he will be here. One day he will be in church. About a year later, he came to church for the whole year. Never missed. Sat at the back. Every once in a while I hear, amen. That was it. And, you know, we were kind of working with him, and he got kind of nervous. He didn't want to, you know, expose his heart and change. You know, sometimes it's hard to change when you've had a lot of stuff. And we were trying to teach him about grace and how God forgives. And so then he walked away. And then he's distanced himself again. Well, recently my mom passed away. And so, you know, we've been kind of working with him. He doesn't really want anything to do. So my mom passed away, and I invited him to come to the ceremony that we're having for her. And it's a real big deal if he shows up, because sometimes it's drama. And, you know, he showed up. And he had told me, and a friend of mine had told me, that he's trying to get his heart right with God, you know. And so in that moment, you know, I'm kind of leading it, and, you know, he didn't want to say anything, but you could tell that there's a softness in him. And over the last week, I've been having these beautiful conversations with him. And, you know, I just said to him, just my last comment to him is, Mike, it's beautiful to hear and to see what God is doing in your life. Now, normally if I say that, he doesn't say, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. He usually tells me where to go, right? Usually calls me a religious viper. But in this time, he said, amen, Gary, God's doing something in my life. Come on, what do you see for your family? You might have some wayward sons and daughters. You might have a brother and sister that doesn't know Christ. Come on, do you see them coming to the altars? Do you see change? Amen? Let's get God's perspective. Amen? In Hebrews 11, verse 13, it says, they saw the promises of God before they acquired them. In other words, the patriarchs, they saw. The word saw there is this, it can be used of various kinds of sight. And here in this passage, they saw, it is plainly an operation of faith that is in the mind. And the word point, saw, points to an inner awareness of what the promises meant. In other words, they had God's perspective on what God wanted them to receive. And then it says, it was like to make an imprint in their mind. Now, vision, what we're talking about, perspective, is a picture held in our mind's eye of the way things could or should be in the days ahead. It's not my vision, it's what God wants to see. It's a visual reality, a portrait of conditions that don't exist currently, but something that will happen in the future. Church, I want to say this to you. I hope you're getting the message. It's a very simple message. God wants to open your eyes to his perspective for your life, for your journey, for what you need. You might have a problem right now. You might feel like everything's crumbling and everything's going into a negative spiral. Listen, don't watch just the natural. Ask God to open your eyes to see what he sees. He's got a bigger perspective. Do you believe that? Thank you for that amen. I receive that. Hallelujah. Come on, can you say amen to me? Amen. Come on, do you believe that? God wants to give you a perspective. Next, number four, God wants you and I to see our calling clearly. He says this in Corinthians, for you see your calling, brethren, how not that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things. Hey, he chose me. Right? Like that's profound, right? And God has chosen the weak things. Hallelujah. He chose me of the world to confound the things of the mighty. The Bible says it this way. You and I are called out of darkness into his glorious light. You and I are called to live holy and to be holy. You and I are called according to his purpose. You're not here by accident this morning. You're not here just on a whim. Hey, let's go to church today. No, no, no. You're here because God has a purpose. He wants to speak into you this morning. He wants to give you his perspective concerning the issues that you're facing. We're called to be free and to serve one another. Let's read this, Ephesians. Would you put that up, Ephesians? I want everybody, if you would. The first service did it really good, and they're the first service. So let's have the second service do even better, okay? First Ephesians, let's read it, starting I pray. I pray the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Did you catch that? God wants you and I to see the hope of our calling. He wants to see us to see the inheritance that is stored up for us. I love this scripture in Hebrews 11. It says this, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Like, he didn't know where he was going, but he had this vision, there's an inheritance stored up for me. Hey, what's your inheritance? What has God stored up for you? What are the things that God wants you to know? I love this scripture, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's the heart of God. And then he wants to show you his great power. His great power. Let me tell you one last story. A number of years ago, probably, I'm going to say 15 years ago, I was going through a very difficult time in my life. Little bit chaotic, a little bit frustrating, living in a lot of frustration. I just needed God's perspective on something, and I wasn't getting it. And so I went to a counselor, and we kind of go through this session, and honestly, the counselor wasn't helping. I mean, I don't know if they were trying too hard, but I was kind of, you know, you're not getting to where I need to go here, like. And so the person said, let's pray. So I said, okay, let's pray. And they just said, Jesus, we need your perspective. And immediately, I had this picture. I saw where I grew up as a teenager. And so this is like, you know, maybe 15, 20 years before that. And I saw my mom. Now, this is a long time ago, so my mom hadn't passed away. But I saw my mom, and she was yelling at me. Anybody have your mom yell at you? Yeah. Now, in her defense, I wasn't a good teenager. She probably had a right to yell at me. But I saw her yelling at me, okay? And, like, she was mad. So I had done something. But the question that came to my mind was, where is my dad? Well, my dad was working, probably, but that was the question. So we finished the session, I go home, you know, I'm trying to sort through what I saw, and I'm saying, God, like, what was that? You know, like, why was my mom yelling at me, and why did I ask where my dad was? And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said. He said, Gary, you don't believe that I'm in control of your life, and that I can protect you. In that time, I was feeling attacked. And, you know, when you feel attacked, sometimes you want to try to fight. Do you do that in Winkler? Like, sometimes you want to fight, and I wasn't winning. And so the Lord spoke to me and said, Gary, I'm in control of your life, and I can protect you. You know, from that moment, my problems were still there, but my perspective changed. I recognized that God was in control of my life. And I gotta tell you, that's never left. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, I have that perspective. God, you're in control of my life. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I wanna pray for you this morning. This is a really holy moment.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.